The board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please limit comments to 3 minutes, and I have one public speaker slip from Cynthia. You get to be first today.
Hi, everyone. Cynthia Replogle, the president of the Oceano Beach Community Association. Just a couple things tonight. First, when I was here 6 weeks or so ago, you said that you would add a link to the Community Association on your website under NGOs. That's still not there, so we would greatly appreciate it if you would add that. Again, it's oceanobeach.org. Secondly, I wanted to mention that last night State Parks held a public meeting in Arroyo Grande on scoping of their new public works plan for the Oceano Dunes State Vehicle Recreation Area. And they are accepting written comments until June 9th. So I would appreciate it. We would all appreciate it if you would consider writing a letter on behalf of our community concerning the scope of that public works plan. One proposal that they're considering is creation of a southern entrance. And many in our community feel that we would like a vehicle-free beach for our residents to enjoy here in Oceano. And we also feel that closure of the Pier Avenue vehicle ramp is necessary precondition for revitalizing the Pier Avenue commercial corridor. So one thing that we recommended in our comments last night was closure of both the Grand Avenue and Pier Avenue entrances, and then making no vehicle beach north of the AG Creek. So in any event, we would ask that you might consider writing something to ask State Parks to be consistent with our revitalization plan in what they are doing in their public works plan. I also wanted to note that tonight State Parks is holding another meeting on the public works plan, and they're holding it in Fresno. That may be to dilute the voices of our local coastal residents and give the dune riders from the Central Valley more of a say. So I think that's another reason why it's important for you all to speak up on our behalf. And you can find information on where to send those comments on the State Parks website. Thank you.
Anyone else want to come forward and speak? Nobody else? Okay, moving on to item 7, special presentations and reports. Staff reports, Tony Maraschino.
Good evening, board. Tony Maraschino. All right. So Lopez is currently at 51%, which is 25,176 acre feet. Let me spit that out a little better. We had zero SSOs for the month of April. We had delivered just over 40 acre feet of Lopez water last month, and we had pumped just over 16 acre feet. All right, so for the previous couple weeks, we've continued with sampling. We've had 8 work orders, 6 USAs, 10 customer service calls. We had 2 call-outs. One was an after-hours lock-off that we unlocked. The other one was for a basin gate that was wide open and unsecured. I'm still looking into that. We had an operator go and secure it. It was a complaint from a resident that kids were playing in the basin. So one of our operators went over there and secured it. A lot of prep for the boring, finished up that. We're removing all the orange fencing from the water line that got installed underneath the lagoon. It went back into service on the 17th, I believe. If I have this down right, yes, on the 17th. Back into service after the sample came back clean. No E. coli, no fecal matter. Everything's up and running really well right now. The only thing we have to do is finish repaving, and we will get to that this week. As soon as I talk to the county inspector, he's been busy to find out, you know, the size of the patch that's required. We had door hangers, we had meter reads, we had to repair a hydrant on railroad that was leaking just over time, they rust and the bolts rust out and they end up leaking. You know, we're in a salty area, so we replaced the bolts, the gasket, stopped the leaking. Five Cities Fire Authority, whenever they have new firefighters, they actually come down to the water yard to get kind of educated on how the water system works in Oceano. So we did meet with the station out of Grover. They have a new firefighter there. We got to go over kind of how Oceano operates and how things work. If they're drawing water, how does it increase water on its own? It's really neat. You get to educate them, and they ask questions, and we get to ask them questions. We had rereads, leak notifications after meter reads. Any questions?
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. General Manager's report, Mr. Ogren.
Yes, Madam President, members of the board. A couple of good news items, and as Tony had mentioned, the emergency actions for the Oceano Lagoon waterline replacement project have been completed. Under the Public Contracts Code, I made the determination last week when Tony had informed me that the water quality test had passed and they could turn the line back into service. And it's important because then, if not for the completion of the emergency actions, it would have been on the agenda today. So again, the emergency actions have been completed, and they were very successful. It was, you know, less than 60 days. That included getting emergency permits from the Coastal Commission, a lot of emergency notifications, contractors, engineers. We had environmental monitors on the site. The primary thing was nesting season for the birds. And it went really well. We still have, in addition to the physical work that Tony had mentioned, we still have permitting processes because, for example, with California Department of Fish and Wildlife, we gave them a notification, but now we have follow-up work and actually did that and signed off on that on Monday. But Coastal, we still have to go through the normal permitting process, and we'll be submitting that in the next week or so. So there's both field work to be done and work with other agencies, paperwork that needs to be wrapped up, but everything went very well. So that was one part of good news. The second part of the good news is that I did receive some correspondence today to find out that the purchase of the emergency generator will obtain a grant for it. And so that grant, we'll have to work that through Five Cities Fire Authority. But both Chief Lieberman as well as County Sheriff Parkinson were involved in supporting the grant application and got notification today that that's going to be funded. And that's the generator equipment itself. You know, the cost of installation is still on us, but good news there. And then I want to mention that the place, which is our art location over on the corner there, we've talked with Carrie. Can you help me with his Darcy. And so they're going to plan on coming to the special meeting next week and doing about a 10-minute presentation on what they're doing and entertain some questions with your board. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions?
No questions. A comment. I went down to the place. What an interesting place that is. Yeah, I mean, a huge variety of different kinds of arts and potential schools and all. It's really interesting.
And we've just been super strong. We will work on the link for the Oceano Beach Community Association. And
thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Moving on to Board of Directors and outside reports. Start with Director Bernay.
I finally have something.
You did last time. Yeah.
So I attended Zone 3 last week.
Yeah.
And the previous one I missed because I was traveling. But so last week was May 17th. It was at Pismo Beach. Zone 3 met. Some items to note. and Tony talked about it earlier, we were looking at the Lopez Lake levels, 51% last, as of, was that today? I was curious, too, because I think it was April 30th, it was 52%. So looking at the trend line, as they showed, and Pavel, you've talked about this before, too, is that as the lake's going down right now, it's hitting that 20,000 acre feet mark or getting just above it right around January-ish. So, again, with the rainfall and everything, the hope would be we have a big rainy season coming up and that we won't hit the low reservoir response plan at the 20,000 acre feet. So, but I did want to give that update. The current climate, as we all know, it's by NOAA is abnormally dry, moderate drought in Slo County. Going back to the budget, there was a big project, the pH suppression project up at the reservoir, and that came $516,000 under the budget. So the question was coming down to, well, what to do with those funds. It was not agendized as an action item, so the committee was not able to vote on it. But at the subsequent next meeting, I think it will be presented as an action item. One of the things, though, that they're looking at doing is using some of those funds to offset the true-up billing for the next few months for the agencies. And I think that's based on whatever the percentages are. So that will be something that would be beneficial to us because it would money that would come back to, in essence, come back to the community, the Vosciano. A couple other items of note. The Santa Maria Groundwater Basin Modeling gave an update. It's the 1B portion of the project. And I think it would be out on slocountywater.org is a PowerPoint presentation. But it was quite interesting. They gave, and it's getting close to being completed. What they're looking at doing is looking over 40 years of data. The project itself looked at over 400 wells around the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin area that goes all the way down to the Santa Maria River, I think, and all the way up here, up into the Northern Cities Management area. And they're looking at trying to finalize the calibration, looking over the 40 years and seeing how the trend lines are matching to what their projections have been over those years. So I think the hope would be that we'd have a better understanding of not only the groundwater level now, but obviously be able to project into the future as well. So, and again, it should be up there at slocountywater.org. It was a pretty neat PowerPoint presentation, yeah. Though. The two action items. The first was the Stormwater Resources Planning Grant, and it was with a cost-sharing agreement with the City of Arroyo Grande. So that was brought to the board for approval to get moved to the Board of Supervisors. And this was something that was on the agenda back in 2016, and they had set aside $189,000 for that. It's actually coming in at $99,000, a little less than $100,000. That was approved, and there was also a cloud seeding letter of support at the TAC. I know it has been discussed, and the TAC had a recommendation to the advisory committee to send that, really to approve the letter to go to the Board of Supervisors in support of cloud seeding for the area. Really just another opportunity, hopeful opportunity for expanding the water portfolio for the county. And a couple items that will be on future agenda that I think are pretty interesting. One would be member Jim Gehring had brought it up of really looking at the strategy for district funded reserves. It's been a while, I think a number of years since they've looked at those different projects, what they could do with it. So I think that'll be coming to the committee to look at what with the reserves and what to do with them. And then the last thing would be changes to the LRP. I know those are continuing discussions at the TAC, Technical Advisory Committee. And I think they'll be bringing some of those to the advisory committee in the future. The next Zone 3 meeting will be July 19th right here at Oceano at 6:30. That's my update.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Is Zone 3, You're talking about being in favor of cloud seeding?
Yes, the overall, and it was a unanimous vote to, and again, it's to send a letter of support of being in favor to the Board of Supervisors so that they can make the decision. But, what the Technical Advisory Committee brought forward was to support the cloud seeding research and going forward.
That's research on it, isn't it?
I think it's an actual...
They're doing the CEQA documents right now.
Okay.
So cloud seeding itself requires environmental review. I'm not sure if they're... what approach that they've determined they need to take, whether it's an EIR, mitigated negative deck, or negative deck. Monterey County several years ago went the EIR approach, and it was because they were going to implement cloud seeding after some major wildland fires in Monterey County. And so the concern was, how might it increase rainfall and to what degree might it then increase erosion or potential earth movement and everything else. So they had some constituents who were really concerned about what might happen. At some point in time, if it's interest to your board, we could have the county come out and do a presentation on cloud seeding. The technologies that they're utilizing have been changing. In earlier days, they would fly up in airplanes, and today they can actually, launch little mini rockets. And there's a fair amount of evidence to illustrate when it does work. If you're going to have a big storm that comes through, there's no use in cloud seeding. If there's not sufficient moisture, there's no use in cloud seeding. But in the right conditions, it's my understanding that it can increase your production, rainfall by about 20%.
Thank you. I was at the fire board meeting, but we'll continue with that later. Vice President Austin?
Yes, I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting last week. And the big thing on our agenda was our audit was completed for June 30th, 2016. So the auditors were there and gave the report and basically said, the audit was what they consider a clean audit. We had the districts in good financial status. They had some recommendations as to some of the administrative items that go on in the office, and we have agreed that that's a good idea and that we'll work on doing those. We also reviewed our budget. We have the draft budget. So we gave direction to the administrator on doing that and bringing it back. And we're getting close to hiring our new administrator. We're going through some background now, and so hopefully we'll have the new administrator here very, very soon.
So. Thank you. Any questions? Director Coldwell?
I attended two different meetings with our president. I attended the fire district board, and we will be talking about that shortly here tonight. And then along with our attorney and general manager, went to the state employees union introductory meeting. It was a good meeting. We got to meet each other. We got some information from the union. We don't want to talk about that yet because we don't know for sure exactly where it's going to land. But it was a good meeting to meet everyone. That's it.
Okay. Now call for public comments on our special presentations and board presentations. Any comments? Yes.
I'd just like to say that I would be interested in a presentation on cloud seeding, and it could be a good opportunity to educate the community about that topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Let's Let's move on to consent agenda, and again, I will call for public comment before we go ahead and take action on the consent agenda as revised. Seeing no one come forward, we'll move on to discussion on the consent agenda, or just move action.
Oh. So, but we've already talked about the cash the revised. Do we need to go over that again? What that was before. Well, that was in the first part of the meeting. There was no one here, so.
We could summarize real quickly, Carrie, that what we added to disbursements was the payment of the Rabobank credit card?
Yes, for $951.38. That's because it's due the 27th and our next meeting isn't until the 30th. And then we've also attached a travel and training authorization request for two of our employees who received a scholarship to attend the CSDA Board Secretary Clerk Conference. And that is also part of the packet, which are also on the table over there. Okay. So,
and this the scholarship will pay for half of their fees or tuition?
Yeah, whatever tuition to attend the class. We still have travel and meals and stuff like that, and that's been itemized on page. Location numbers 1, 2, 4.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as presented with the revised item 8A.
I'd second that.
It's been moved in favor. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 4-0. 1 absent. Moving on to our business items. Should we call for public comment afterward or before? Okay. Okay. Moving on to 9 items, business items. A, consideration of a recommendation to approve safe and sane firework booth permits.
I guess I'm going to cover for Celia and Carrie. I see their names on the staff report. essentially, it's the same as last year. We did the application. We have the same groups. One of the nonprofits associated with California Highway Patrol had come to your board at a prior meeting encouraging you to authorize a fifth booth. As it turns out, they didn't apply because the spot they had wanted had already been secured by one of the other groups. So in terms of the permits and who's applied, consistent with prior years, then what we want to talk about a little bit is what are we going to do the next day? Because we have an on-call individual who can help us with community cleanup, but staff really wants to get out there and in the morning on July 5th, go up and down the streets and sometimes it's going to be knocking on somebody's doors. We just think it would be a good opportunity for us to go out there also and help make sure that the fireworks are cleaned up. We had the comment at one of our prior meetings, and we talked about it, and we want to, we don't get out in the community very often, and we thought it would be a great opportunity for us to do that. So,
I think that's a great idea.
The 4th is on what day of the week? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
And then also I talked to Dina Bellman with State Parks, and they have some signage that we can work with them so that the individuals who have the booths will have some signage about keeping the beach clean. And they're not supposed to take the fireworks on the beach, reminding them of that. So we'll follow up with some of those additional actions as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I think. Are any of
The Open Door Church is here.
Yeah, I was going to say if anybody wants to come forward and talk about their fireworks booths, this would be a nice opportunity. If you'd like to.
One comment I had was
maybe if you guys could approve, like, in April, because then we can do pre-sale so we can get more people to come to Oceano, where we kind of lock people into, because when they, the fireworks, TNT will let us sell or give us vouchers so we can sell, and it kind of gets more people coming in, because the mainstay is people go down Grand Avenue, but when they buy a voucher from one of the organizations in Oceano, it's either they're donating, which is kind of nice to get the $20 and then not even get the fireworks, because that happens too. A lot of people just do it as a donation that way. But it we can get it out in the community a little sooner than waiting until May. Because I know last year we went to the meeting about, all of us went to TNT's dinner they put on to show us the fireworks, but we had never, we didn't even know if we had a booth or not. So yeah. That's my only comment.
Yeah, and I, for the record, I need your name. And
I'm Esther Myers. I'm the preschool director for the Open Door Preschool of Oceano.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, these are all the same great organizations, so I'm ready to.
Okay. We should be able to accommodate an earlier approval of the booths next year, shouldn't we?
Yeah, Celia sort of manages our timeline on this, so we'll look at that timeline and reach out to some of the associations and for next year.
All right, I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda item 9A, the consideration to approve the Safe and Sane firework booth permits for the four applications we have.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 4-0, one absent. Moving on to 9B, consideration of a recommendation to approve a memorandum of agreement amending the five-city joint. Consideration of a recommendation to approve a memorandum of agreement amending the Five Cities Fire Authority Joint Powers of Authority Agreement with the cities of Aroy Grande and Grover Beach.
Madam President, members of the board, this action is one that has been subject of several of your board's prior meetings. The good news is we were able to successfully develop an agreement with the cities of Aroy Grande and Grover Beach. And it was presented and endorsed at the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting last Friday. In addition, the agreement itself calls for the approval of a conflict waiver with the City of Aroy Grande's attorney, who is already in the JPA identified as the attorney for Five Cities Fire Authority, City of Grover for the... The City of Grover's attorney is already identified in the JPA as the attorney also for the Five Cities Fire Authority. The MOA that's in front of you effectively modifies the JPA, amends the JPA, and the conflict waiver coincides, is provided for in that MOA. I want to do two things real quick. One is I want to make sure to give the opportunity for President White to reflect upon the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting on Friday and their endorsement. And then I want to make sure to have the opportunity for legal counsel to review the conflict waiver. And then after that, I will speak to some of the critical terms of the MOA.
Yeah. Well, they were both considered by the board. They were considered separately. And the MOA was not approved by the members of the fire board as a document, but was approved as a document to be moved forward to the cities and to Oceano. So they didn't really approve it as it stands, but they approved the plan of moving it forward to the three communities to make a final decision. There was a binding action in approving the conflict agreement with Attorney Hale. And so now I think we at least are all on the same playbook, and I'm hoping it could be moved forward very rapidly. And
Thank you, President White. And on the clarification, the reason why Five Cities Fire Authority vote on the MOA was not a binding vote, but was more of an endorsement, is because the JPA is a function of the three agencies, Rio Grande, Grover, and Oceano. The Five Cities Fire Authority implements that the JPA and the amendments that are approved by the three agencies. So Five Cities Fire didn't have a formal role with respect to the MOA. But because David Hale represents Five Cities Fire Authority, as well as the city of Grover, then Five Cities Fire needed to approve his conflict waiver, as well as all three of the agencies. And at this time, maybe Jeff, you can speak to
the conflict. I was going to say just one more thing about this agreement. I found it to be very, very specific It's just really, it makes every issue, you're aware of every issue that could come, and I think it deals with every issue that could possibly come forward, including his agreement to step away from everything if it becomes a major conflict. So, anyway, that's all I was going to say.
President White and directors of the board, so just as a brief overview as far as what the conflict waiver is that as currently drafted, the JPA requires Mr. Hale in facing an actual or a potential conflict to completely withdraw from representing either party. And so as we go into the negotiation period regarding the future of the JPA over the next year, what this waiver allows Mr. Hale to do is to remain representing Five City Fire and Grover Beach, even that there is a potential conflict in there, so that it's basically just so that he doesn't have to withdraw and he can continue to represent the parties. To the extent that would become an issue, the most likely result is that would become an issue for either Five Cities Fire or Grover Beach feeling that they're not being adequately represented, and Mr. Hale does a good job of outlining in his conflict waiver letter of identifying foreseeable problems that could arise, mostly in regards to his duty of loyalty. So.
The word I was looking for was transparent. Yes.
Then with respect to the MOA itself, the need for the MOA exists, and need and concerns are what I'll speak to. We know that there's a certain level of uncertainty with regard to the future of the Five Cities Fire Authority. There's been, during this fiscal year, the identification of the challenges of a reserve firefighter program and the need to transition to full-time firefighters. That's been incorporated into the strategic plan that was adopted by the Five Cities Fire Authority Board last September. The JPA, the original current JPA, provides in its funding formula for certain levels of staffing, and to the extent that the strategic plan is looking to modify it, then it therefore follows that the JPA needs to be reviewed as well. We've heard comments from some of the other agencies regarding amendments that they might want to seek in the JPA. And Chief Lieberman, a couple years ago, had gone around to all of the agencies to talk about potential JPA amendments. The JPA was originally adopted in 2010, and so it should not be a shock to anybody that in 2018, 8 years later, we've learned things that work well in the JPA and things that maybe could be used to be improved upon. And when we take in combined the efforts of the strategic plan, some of the challenges that we faced in reserve firefighters and the need to transition, and the lessons learned over the last 8 years, there's a lot of sense in needing to reopen the JPA for negotiations so that the three agencies can work together to try to make sure Five Cities Fire Authority meets the needs of all three communities moving into the future. And as a result, the MOA itself has timelines associated with renegotiation. At a minimum, if we can't come up with the renegotiated JPA, this is the worst case scenario type of thing, then it's December 31st, 2019, that it could dissolve. Now, any two agencies can recombine and work, and then there's a lot of different permutations of what might happen. We also know that separately the county is going to be having a blue ribbon committee to talk about future of fire services, not just in the unincorporated community, but throughout the county. And the efforts with Five Cities Fire going on concurrently with the county's blue ribbon committee certainly makes sense in terms of being able to fully address what the options are for Oceano and making sure that your board is well informed on what the best options are and the discretion that you have on what may be done. Also with the changes, what legal counsel and I recognized in the existing JPA is that the withdrawal termination provisions, there's two different provisions with regard to withdrawal and termination, but an agency that might need to withdraw from the JPA as originally envisioned, there was some what we'll just characterize as penalty provisions for a withdrawal. And in 2010, when the JPA was formed, there is a certain sensibility to having withdrawal penalties because everybody got into the JPA together and the commitment was to stay together. The environment or the situation that we're seeing today, though, is not a desire of any agency to withdraw. It's simply the matter, especially for Oceano, that if the two cities that have additional, more broader funding opportunities than the district has and Oceano has, if they choose to have the funding to go to a higher level of service, but Oceano doesn't have the funding to go to a higher level of service, then certainly Oceano shouldn't be penalized in a withdrawing situation. And that we were able to address in this MLA, and we believe we've addressed it very effectively. In essence, what it says is that in withdrawal termination provisions, that every agency is going to be provided with the ability to be able to operate a standalone. So this specifically gets into the heavy equipment and the apparatus and, you know, really the various equipment, but especially the heavy apparatus, the engines and whatnot. And so it provides that we're going to go through good faith efforts to make sure that any of the agencies would be able to operate a standalone department from an equipment standpoint. We're still going to have to figure out a budget on ourselves. One of the key provisions then is that if we don't get, if any of those the agencies, communities, don't get an engine, we won't be liable for the lease payments on it. And that was kind of the penalty provision that was incorporated into the original JPA, is that if you withdraw, the equipment you would get would be subject to the determination of the other agencies, but you could still be potentially liable on equipment that you don't have. So we've addressed those issues and made sure that if there is a change in the structure of Five Cities Fire Authority from three agencies to two agencies, or if all three agencies do their own thing, then everybody's going to work in good faith to make sure that the distributions of assets are equitable. The basic concepts of the MOAs simply aren't very complicated. It's just as simple as that. And again, it's understandable because the original JPA, everybody jumped into it with arms around each other. And the idea is if somebody wanted to leave on their own, there was a little bit of a penalty provision. But that's simply not the situation right now. We just have to figure out how we're going to increase levels of service. And outside of the MOA, then, the question in front of your board is going to be the potential need for a parcel tax election in November and all of the work that's going to go on with that. And the next agenda item with respect to the local hazard mitigation plan, optional works of services with those consultants would include assisting us in being able to evaluate the future of fire services. So I'm going to hold off on any further discussion on that until the next agenda item, remaining focused on the MOA and this agreement that we've adopted or developed with the cities of Rio Grande and Grover. My understanding is that Aurora Grande will have it on its their next meeting, and Grover will have it on their meeting, I think, of June 4th. Yeah. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
questions? Yeah.
Just one comment that I have. It seems to me that Director Scholes made it clear at the Fire Authority meeting last week that he was approving the MOA, as President White indicated, approving the MOA to be sent to the three agencies for approval. He also made it clear that he was reserving any objections that he might have for his discussion with his city council, Grover Beach. So we don't know what may surface at the Grover Beach Council about this.
And some of that makes sense, because as elected officials, you really are supposed to take off your hat when you leave the Oceano Board, or when the city councils leave their city council chambers. Whether you're going to Five Cities Fire Authority or the Sanitation District, you put on another hat. And so in some respects, I think that Mayor Scholes was expressing the idea is that, well, that other hat at the city council is when he's really going to, you know, kind of talk about it. He may have expressed concerns. I hope he also expresses optimism with the city council in Grover Beach about these the benefits of the MOA, because there's important amendment, JPA amendment provisions in here that we spoke to. The other thing that I didn't speak to is that in order to avoid a budget impasse at Five Cities Fire Authority, this action was necessary, and at Five Cities Fire Authority on Friday, because the authority took the same approach that your board took. And as a reminder, when you adopted your resolution on April 25th, you said, if we develop an MOA that gets approved by the other two agencies, then we can support the strategic planning budget in 18-19. If the MOA doesn't get adopted, then it's the status quo budget. Since the Five Cities Fire Authority took similar actions, it means that if either Grover or Rio Grande choose not to adopt the MOA, then Five Cities Fire will move forward with their status quo budget. So the benefit to both Grover and Rio Grande in adopting this is it provides for the first step in the transition of the strategic plan and the first step in the transition from reserve firefighters to full-time firefighters. So, I hope that at both cities they express the optimism of being able to move forward with the strategic plan measures that were adopted last September.
Hopefully that happens.
Yes.
Well, I know this was a culmination of many, many meetings and lots of collaboration with all the other agencies, so I'm happy to see it come to us now so we can, move on with it. I think we've been very careful in looking out for Oceano's interests and hoping to keep the fire authority going. So I'm real happy to see this.
I think I would like to just thank both Director Caldwell and President White for, I know this has been a lot, as well as you, Pavo, for everything, as Linda was saying, over the past
number of months.
Yeah.
We've been, covering everything, looking into every scenario, to do what's best for keep the authority together and what's best for our community. I think you've done an excellent job, Karen and Jim both. Thank you. And Pavo.
Well, and there's certainly, a lot of work ahead of us.
Right.
In some respect, this MOA provides the foundation to do the real work that's ahead of us.
Right.
We have to work with the cities and with Chief Lieberman in order to come up with the best plan of attack on a future JPA. And we have to work with the community on what the funding levels might be that the community might support. And then you hear me saying many times in the coming months is that funding is the voters' decision. That was established in Proposition 13 back in the 1970s. And that's a community decision, is the level of funding. And then your board's decision, with input from the community, is how will those services be provided.
I'm happy there's a collective intention moving forward amongst the agencies to, again, those good faith negotiations. The only question I had was, under the financial considerations, we said sufficient reserves, we're talking about Oceano, exist to fund the two years of the strategic plan, and that's roughly $125,000. So are those obviously, I know we don't want to use those funds, but you know, it's something that, again, emergency services are a must, number one. We have loved being in Five Cities Fire. I think all the communities have, and we want to see it succeed. But I'm glad we have enough both budget as well as time to hopefully make something work out collectively well.
So in answering the question of do we have sufficient reserves, the answer is yes. There's other, you know, property tax revenues went up a little bit more than anticipated this year, so there's some good news there. As discussed in prior meetings and what we'll be going through with your budget workshop next week, is that it most likely will require some advanced payment of the loan from the water fund to the general fund. The two-year impact, though, will be mitigated because if we, this time next year, we're going to know whether we're in Five Cities Fire Authority for the long run. We're going to know whether or not the community supports a parcel tax or not. If there's a situation where it's, again, a worst-case funding situation, then at Five Cities Fire Authority, I think it's hard to envision that they're going to be more conservative in implementing the strategic plan in the second year. Okay. Right? Because if they're looking at a two-agency department and they've already started to implement the strategic plan, then how much further do they really need to implement it in the second year? And that's reflected in the fact that the funding commitment under the strategic plan is at this point only for 2018-2019. So we provided the multi-year budget projections and the cost impacts. But again, if we're looking at a two-year budget, worst-case scenario, I think that we'll see Five Cities Fire having to curtail that second-year expenditures, unless we are absolutely all three in it together and we've got the funding lined up.
Okay. And it changes nothing what you said, but I want to go back. I misspoke. It was $225,000, but that goes to if the full strategic plan is continued on.
Yes. Yeah, the $225,000 was in year five after the full implementation.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And it should be noted that the strategic plan, Roy Grandy and Grover Beach are also going to see a 20% increase in their share. So, like, for Roy Grandy, they're going to have to come up with another $450,000. No, wait a minute. I'm reading it wrong. No.
Well, the bottom line
is...
They're
going to have to come up with 20% more, and so is Grover.
Yeah, and the fiscal implications to all three communities are significant.
Yeah.
There is a provision in there that also that we'll be looking at the funding formula. One of the things that we will make sure to remind everybody is that on a per capita basis, all three communities are paying about $130 per capita right now. So certainly Arroyo Grande in real dollars pays a lot more than Oceano does, and Arroyo Grande pays more than Grover does. But when we take a look at the populations for each of the community on a per capita basis, the differences are not... as significant as the real dollars might otherwise indicate.
Yeah. It's a hit for everybody.
Yep.
Entertain a motion?
Comment?
I'm sorry. Public comment on 9B fire. Seeing nobody come forward, I will now entertain a motion.
President White.
Yeah.
Make a suggestion. That any motion include following the suggested motion of Mr. Ogren, that it include authorization to the president of the board to execute the conflict waiver for Mr. Hale.
Just add that to that.
I would move that this board approve the MOA, and also authorize our president, Karen White, to execute the waiver of potential conflict of interest.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded.
Roll call.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Director Brunet?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
President White?
Yes.
President White, before we leave this topic, though, I want to throw up the suggestion that perhaps you and I prepare a press release on this item. I think it's...
Be happy to do that.
Yeah, significant, and I'll work with you over the next tomorrow and Friday in order to get a press release out.
Soon.
Yes.
As soon as possible. Yeah.
Great idea.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Okay. Moving on to 9C, approval of the recommendation selecting proposal from Category 5 Professional Consultants, Inc. to prepare for a local hazard mitigation plan and authorizing the board president to approve a professional services agreement in the amount of $47,356.96 plus optional services.
President White, members of the board, just as we modified our recommendation on the last item slightly, I am going to be modifying the recommendation on this one. Rather than the contract with Category 5 to have optional services included in that contract, we really need to move it out and have the optional services under a separate contract or a purchase order.
Okay.
And that became abundantly clear to me when we met with the Category 5 individuals yesterday. And the reason why is that the local hazard mitigation plan is funded. All of our costs for the LHMP are funded through Cal OES and FEMA grants.
That's right.
And Sherry, who is the president of Category 5, reminded us that there's at least 1,000 conditions that they have to comply with. Maybe not 1,000, but you get the point, right?
Yeah.
So we don't want to have an agreement that includes optional services and Cal OES and FEMA going, what are you doing in our agreement? Right.
Yeah.
So the RFP went out with the request for qualifications on optional services. That's important because then everybody had an opportunity to propose, and the selection gives us the ability to award optional services to Category 5. We just need to split it into two different contracts. So I'll speak to them separately. With respect to the local hazard mitigation plan, again, Cal OES and FEMA have provided the grant funding. Our staff is going to do support services, and that will cover our local match. And that's going to be about $15,000 of estimated time, which is primarily going to be Nicole Miller, who is going to be leading our work with Category 5. The local hazard mitigation plan is good ideas for multiple different reasons. One is for compliance with FEMA in order to get disaster money. It's absolutely required to get pre-disaster mitigation funding, and pre-disaster mitigation funding is the type of facility that is completely expected to fail, like in an earthquake or a flood, and so you want to fix it before you have the earthquake and the flood. And the county has pre-disaster mitigation funding that they've obtained to work on their Rio Grande Creek levees. You absolutely have to have an LHMP to get any of that pre-disaster mitigation funding. The reality for Oceana, where most of our pipes are under the ground and we don't have treatment facilities, the opportunities for pre-disaster mitigation funding is going to be extremely rare. So for us, what it does is it provides a great opportunity as a tool for educating the public on the variety of hazards that exist within Oceano and who responds to them. Is it Oceano that responds in an emergency? Is it the County Public Works Department if it has to do with the levee? What hazards do we have that County Health will be responding to? We know that a number of different industrial facilities have chlorine gas, and those chlorine gas, if they get knocked over, can create plumes. So who's responsible? So as a public education tool is why one of the primary reasons why I wanted to apply for the grant funding. As an unincorporated community, that reemphasizes we have multiple jurisdictions that are serving the community, and so the LHMP will help to identify who are the different jurisdictions. Helps to identify where is it that community members will go in the event of they need shelter. Those are all part of emergency action plans, but to have an LHMP that consolidates important information, not redundant, but you know, consolidates important information for the community on the different types of natural disasters and man-made disasters and how the responses would work. So I think it's a really good public education tool. The other side of it is that the county, the flood control district, Five Cities Fire Authority, all have local hazard mitigation plans, and those are all called multi-jurisdictional plans. And so by getting the grant funding and having our local hazard mitigation plan prepared, then when the Five Cities Fire Authority gets theirs updated, or if their update is included in a regional effort by the county, then we can get into we'll have the ability then to be incorporated into the larger multi-jurisdictional plans. In fact, the county has applied for a grant for almost countywide, not all the agencies, but a lot of the agencies in the county, where the grant would provide for some of the funding, and then each of the local agencies will provide some funding on their own. This gives us the ability to get incorporated into it through the funding that we've obtained. So the general timeline is that it is supposed to be done in about a year, and we expect an extension. We've been going a little bit slow deferring it with the hope that the county was going to get their LHMP money awarded. But FEMA and Cal OES have been busy on a number of emergencies, including Santa Rosa fires and including the fires and the flooding in Santa Barbara County. So we couldn't wait any longer for the county to get their grant award. We needed to move forward. And, of course, we're in close coordination with Cal OES on our timing. So that kind of gives the basic plan approach. Our next steps are to establish a working group. And so Carrie's got a handout. And we came up with some thoughts and suggestions. And really what our task is, I should say Nicole Miller developed this and working with the We've identified a number of different agencies and local nonprofits and the Oceano Beach Community Association and some others who might want to participate in the planning group. So the development of the local hazard mitigation plan will include some introductory meeting with the group, and then Category 5 will go out and do their work, identify hazards, meet with the group, and keep them involved. The big work of the working group is really simply going to be reviewing the work product that the consultant provides and giving feedback. And so part of the FEMA requirements is that we have a planning group with broad representation throughout the community. So Nicole put together this sheet, and we all sort of talked about it. It includes myself and Nicole, representing staff, and then the list goes on. There's with Lucia Marr, we haven't yet identified who the contact person is. I should mention that Nicole and I will be on it. The rest of the contacts are who the consultant will reach out to identify whether or not those groups want to have somebody on the planning group. I happened to talk to Ken Dalebout, who's the administrator for Five Cities, or for Arroyo Grande Community Hospital. He's part of Dignity Health. He indicated that he has a couple of individuals who he's thinking about over the hospital, but is enthusiastic about participating in the planning group. So I wanted to make sure to provide this. None of the agencies or none of the groups or even businesses are obligated, but we wanted just to create a good list in order to for the consultant to do outreach and see who might be interested. And because this doesn't require your board's action, even if you look at this list and you come up with something in the morning, then just give us a call, or even if it's next week.
Well, I think the Oceano Depot Association.
The Oceano Depot Association? Mm-hmm. How could I forget about that one?
Don't they have a water pistol?
We need a lot of help in mitigating things over there. Mitigating our tenants underneath the building.
I can get a contact for Halcyon.
For Halcyon, yeah.
Or be the contact for Halcyon, one or the other.
That's what you should do.
Yeah.
So Pavo, does this mean that Five Cities Fire, the cities of Arroyo Grande and Grover, as well as the school district, et cetera, the different agencies listed here, do they all have a local hazard mitigation plan?
I believe that all of them do, including the sanitation district. I looked at the Five Cities Fire Authority local hazard mitigation plan, and I believe it was multi-jurisdictional with Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Lucia. Maybe not Lucia Mar. Schools are maybe treated a little bit differently, but certainly the sanitation district. We were the only ones who did not fund prior to around 2012, 2013 is when the different agencies made funding commitments to Five Cities Fire, but Oceano just simply didn't do it at that point in time, so we were not included. One of the very first communications that I had when I was employed was with David Mathey, who led the preparation of the LHMP for Five Cities Fire, and he's walking me through everything. And I said, so is it too late for Oceano? And he's like, yes, far too late, because the process that you walk through is structured very clearly by Cal OES and FEMA. He was just wrapping it up, and so it was far too late for us to get incorporated, which is why I was glad when I found out the grant was awarded to Oceano.
And our local plan will include analysis of our fire situation with or without the Five Cities Authority?
No. That's more of what we are addressing in the optional services.
Okay.
Right? Because the core of a LHMP is to identify where your hazard risks are. Where are the hazards if there's an earthquake? Where's the hazards if there's a tsunami? Where's the hazards if an oil train derails? And then how do we respond to those? So they will be right now identifying Five Cities Fire Authority. And I think that the plan may very well identify the status or the uncertainty. But it's the optional services, and I have a handout on that. Get this if we're ready to transition into the optional services.
Otherwise, the ones we have to pay for.
We have an extra one for you.
There's more here, yeah.
One?
I've got one.
Okay.
So your board had authorized me to issue the RFP, and when I prepared it, knowing that the county had prepared an RFP for their multi-jurisdictional effort, I asked for a copy, and then I worked with that in order to be efficient and got our RFP out there. I added the optional services, and what I really did is put in there a statement of qualifications. for the consultants to identify whether they have the qualifications to evaluate, you know, fire department operations. The Bob Newman, who is part of the Category 5 team, was previously the fire chief for the city of San Luis Obispo. And after he retired, Bob's been all over the place. He works as a leader of strike force. If there's wildland fires anywhere in the country, he might fly out there and lead strike forces in order to help deal with the wildland fires. I've been to the National Fire Academy twice in my career. Both were week-long training events. The first one was sponsored through Atascadero, the city of Atascadero's fire department. The second one was through Five Cities Fire Authority. And Bob was at both of them because this is kind of the work that he does. And so asked for a statement of qualifications, should back up that Category 5 was the only firm. We had advertised, sent it out to about five or six different firms. The list we obtained from the county in their efforts, and Category 5 was the only one who responded. But certain Bob is very well versed in fire operations as a prior fire chief and as he continues his career after his public agency retirement. And the thought is to help us with addressing Oceano's needs in moving forward. So he put together a summary five-point proposal. One is so that he can make sure he's up to speed on the five-year strategic plan and the Joint Powers Authority Agreement. Second is to make sure he understands what the level of support for the overall implementation of the Five Cities Fire Authority five-year strategic plan. And then to help us delineate the options. And so the very first thing we're planning on doing, subject to your board's approval tonight, is that Bob, Nicole, and I will meet with Chief Lieberman and Debbie Malicote next week in order to make sure we understand what are the detailed components of a fire operating budget. That's important because certainly at Oceano, when Carrie and I are looking at the budget, we're really relying on Five Cities Fire Authority with respect to those details. And Chief Lieberman takes those details to the Five Cities Fire Authority Board for their review and their endorsement. And then from an Oceano perspective, it's pretty much a bottom line analysis that, yes, during the course of the year we meet with Chief Lieberman from time to time and we talk about the different issues and we have dialogue and give him input and everything. But formally, that budget for Five Cities Fire is developed with Lieberman, with support from Debbie Malicote, and it's approved by the Five Cities Fire Authority Board. Unlike water and sewer operations for your board, where we really delve into the details. But because of the status of Five Cities Fire and moving forward and everything, I think it's really important to have an individual like Bob Newman on board, because as we approach the community and we talk about parcel tax, to have that type of expertise to support the analysis. We're going to have to do budget estimates, and so part of Bob's job is going to give us feedback. And there's quick feedback he's already given us, which is that if Oceano is on its own as a standalone department with existing revenues, it's hard to imagine how we're going to be able to operate. So he also, he and Category 5 prepared the LHMP for Cambria. And Cambria is moving forward with a vote on June 5th. And so the CSD asked him to kind of, he went last night and participated in a town hall meeting regarding Cambria status. So I see him playing a similar role here. Again, I think it's really important to help with the truthing of what our options are and what the costs are, and to have the expertise of a really an independent fire official from everybody else who's working on the issue and have that objective eye look at what's going on. My thought here is that I was originally thinking it might cost us $25,000. They say they can certainly do it in $20,000. Time is of the essence. And rather than develop a whole new contract, which we have to have for the LHMP, and we've already drafted that, my thought is that if it meets the pleasure of the board, would be to authorize me to approve a purchase order with Category 5 for this separate level of work. And in doing so, we would recognize that as we're working with your board and the community, some of the details are, you know, we want to make sure we're flexible as we're addressing the issues. It's not like a, you know, that typical consultant report where you define exactly what you want to do up front, and then they go off and do their work, and they come back with a report and present us with a report. This is going to be one where he's going to have to be working side by side with us as we move forward, addressing parcel tax options and what type of funding might your board need to consider for a parcel tax vote in November. And as a result, I think a sort of a time and materials purchase order approach with this being the general scope of work would be best in this situation.
So that was my question. So this would work to get the background information for the fire tax?
Yes.
Because don't we usually get like a consultant?
Yes.
For a 218, so this would be...
Yeah. And along those lines, like some of the questions I've already asked is, are we going to get a marketing firm? And I'm like, I'm not going to support getting a marketing firm. One is that if you're facing a challenge, right, and certainly funding and challenges associated with operating a good fire department, are that's what we're all facing. Arroyo Grande, Grover, Oceano, Templeton, Cayucas, Cambria. The list really goes on right now of the challenges associated with making sure to fund fire services at the level that meets the expectations of most of the communities. We don't need a marketing firm. You know, it's all about making sure that we work with a professional who's got the background, the expertise, and the experience with respect to fire operations, so that we can make sure that when we're working with the community, we have the best available information with the highest level of credibility. That's what our responsibility is. Then the voters are the ones who make the community a decision.
I think this would be very beneficial.
I certainly support that, because, you know, we have to be the marketing. We can't do that legally, but we have to have the honest answers.
Yes.
For our voters.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to pass through other hands. I'm going to want us to be able to look and say, this is what we've researched, this is what the facts are.
Yeah. So after public comment, I would encourage for the two items to be separate motions in consideration. The one is, you know, selection of a Category 5 for preparation of the local hazard mitigation plan, and authorization for the president to execute a professional services agreement. And then the second recommendation would be to authorize your general manager to execute a purchase order for the scope of work identified by Category 5 to assist us in addressing fire department operations. And again, after...
Yeah. Anybody want to come forward to speak during public comment? Seeing nobody come forward, I entertain a motion, the first motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the recommendation selecting the proposal from Category 5 professional consultants for preparation of the local hazard mitigation plan and authorizing the board president to approve a professional services agreement in an amount of $47,356.96.
Second.
Okay, and on this, our bylaws provide that any award of funding more than $7,500 is to be done by a roll call vote. It's a bylaw, we don't know, but because this is, again, a Cal OES and a FEMA-funded project, the importance of strictly complying with your own policies and bylaws is important, so we need a roll call vote on this.
Can I call for a roll call vote?
Director Bonet?
Yes.
President White?
Yes.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Vice President Weston?
Yes. Passes 4-0, one absent. Second motion.
So, you want me to second?
I move we authorize our general manager to act as our agent in order to prepare and complete the purchase order for potential optional services to the local hazard mitigation plan.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Yep. And again, I would encourage a roll call vote.
Yes.
On this.
Roll call vote, please.
You second.
I second that.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
President White?
Yes.
Director Bernie?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
Passes 4-0, one absent. Four? Yeah. Okay, we've got item moving on to 10 hearing items, 11 written communications, 12 late written communications. Is there anything in those three areas?
No, I already spoke to in my GM report of the recent communications on getting the grant for the emergency generator.
Okay, then moving on to future agenda items next week, I guess.
Yeah, so next week for the special meeting, we're going to be doing a budget workshop. And we're, I'd say, Carrie's probably 90% done with the analysis. We have some more work to be done. We will attempt to make sure that the agenda is posted and everything is out on Friday. As a special meeting, we have to have it out 24 hours in advance. So depending on our status over the next 2 days, it might get posted on Friday or it might be posted Tuesday. Monday's a holiday.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to have the place, Darcy.
Yeah.
Come.
Okay. Is there any other matters to come before this board, ladies and gentlemen?
None here.
I move that we adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor,
aye.
We
have a group second.
And it's still sunny out.
Yeah.
Of course, it's almost the longest day of the year, but...